Welcome to our time of worship, Desborough Baptist Church. We meet together, don't we? We separate this time during the week and we say, this is a special time when we come together as God's children to worship God, to become deeper and closer in union with Jesus through a time of worship. Today, of course, is Pentecost, isn't it? Which just basically means 50 days. It's 50 days since the resurrection. And today is the day that Christians all around the world celebrate the birth of the church. So today, it's happy birthday to the church. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I know sometimes when we come to a time of worship that it's not easy. It can be challenging, can't it? Because when we show up at church, if we were allowed to be in the building, I know that we're at home, I think that sometimes makes it even more difficult. But when we show up for a time of worship, we bring with us all of the things that have been going on in the week, don't we? We bring all the worries. We bring all the stresses. We bring all of the things that preoccupy our minds. And they can be quite distracting in worship. So let's just be calm for a bit and take some time, a few moments, just to let those things sink into the background, come before God, and let the Spirit take us. Let him have his way with us. Let him open our hearts and our minds to our time of worship this morning. And let's do that with some words from a psalmist this morning. Psalm 37 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun." Can you imagine the cause of our church shining like the noonday sun into our community? What a wonderful thought. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about the wicked, their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Don't lose your temper because it only leads to harm. Let's just bow our heads and take a moment to come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give this time to you right now. We say, here we are to worship. And we claim your promise, Lord Jesus, that where two or three are gathered in your name, even if we can't be in the building together, Lord, we're still here in your name, that there you will be. And so we welcome you in this space, Lord Jesus. You are welcome here with us. We pray that everything we do in our time of worship this morning will be honouring and glorifying to you, Lord Jesus. But we also recognise that when we come before you, there are things that are obstacles in the way of our worship. And so we take a moment, Lord, quietly in our own hearts, to just put those down before you, for you to act in our hearts and minds. Lord Jesus, we hand these over to you, the worries of work, the complexity of family life and relationships, ill health and worries about what our future might be, times of uncertainty, Lord. We put them down before you, and we simply come because you are worthy of our worship, Lord Jesus. And we ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing a couple of hymns together now. The first one is "Be Still for the Presence of the Lord." Let us just be still for the presence of the Lord. And then we'll go straight into majesty. Worship his majesty, because God deserves all of us, doesn't he? He deserves all our worship. So let us sing these hymns together.
Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings.
Let us join together in a moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe into our prayers. Your breath of life, come. Holy Spirit, fan the flame of love within us and draw us into the life of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, renew us and revive us, that in our worship and in our living, we may live a life of love for the praise and glory of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Pentecost, can you imagine the day itself? There the disciples are in the upper room. There's all this wind and noise and shaking, and then tongues of fire descend from the heavens down onto this little room with his disciples and settle on them and joins in them heart. My word, doesn't that sound like something of a Hollywood blockbuster to you and I? Well, I think it certainly does. It's the goodness of God coming in his spirit. My word, don't we need that today? Look at the chaos in the world that there is, the uncertainty that we're living in. I'm so glad that we've seen a ceasefire with Israel and Palestine this week. And we pray that that lasts, don't we? But this, and of course, COVID-19, you know, COVID is causing chaos all around the world. But this is God's answer to that chaos, the sin of the world, the Spirit becoming in partnership with the church, God's church. And it's a response to that worldly chaos. It becomes a beacon of light and truth, God's goodness through his people in the world. Wow, it does sound like the build-up to a Hollywood blockbuster, doesn't it? So let's just take a moment to watch this video clip of the Spirit and Pentecost. The world needs God's church. The world needs God's people because we are partnership with the Spirit. And we need to be praying for our world. And we need to be petitioning God for the things that the world needs. We're going to have a time now of prayers of intercession. And I'll ask Simon and Lynn if they'll do these for us. And then they're going to go straight in and do the reading from Acts 2, verses 1 to 12. Thank you, guys. I'll pass over to you.
Thank you, Matt. Let's join together now in a time of prayer. Father God, we look around us today and cannot help but wonder at the beauty of your creation. A spring is in full flow, the trees in flower. Life bursts in. We give you thanks, Lord. But Lord, when we look a little deeper, we realise how far we have fallen from your plans for us. And so, Lord, we bring our prayers to you today for our world. We think of the people in the Congo following the volcanic activity. We pray for them that they must be terrified, Lord, at this time, not knowing where to run to escape the danger. Lord, be with them. Lord, we lift the people of Palestine and Israel to you as they enter a time of peace. We pray for your presence in the fragile negotiations, Lord. Lord, be with them. Lord, we pray too the continued fight against the coronavirus, for our brothers and sisters around the world, for those who are ill and those fighting to save lives. Lord, we pray for healing and comfort for those affected by this terrible virus. Lord, be with them. We turn our thoughts closer to home now as we think about our own country. Lord, we pray for wisdom when it comes to looking at the news we often see pain and trouble. We watch and believe what we see with little questioning. Lord, help us to remember that there is only one truth, only one who we can trust, and only one who we should listen to. Lord, be with us. We thank you for the government and the leadership of the country today, Lord. Regardless of political parties, we ask for your guiding hand in the decisions that are made, Lord. The decisions that affect so many people. Give them knowledge and understanding, we pray. We think of the unrest in Swansea, Lord. From what started out as a balloon release in the memory of Ethan Powell, others sought to cause mayhem and discord. Lord, we lift our troubled country to you and pray for peace and understanding. Lord, we are in exceptionally difficult times. Our routines have been changed so radically and people restricted. As we start to turn the corner, Lord, and return to normal life, we ask for tolerance and understanding. There are so many people who need you today, Lord. Help us to find them and reach out in any way we can, Lord, to share your love. Lord, we pray for the opportunity to share your love with others. For many are trying to make sense of the last 18 months, Lord. And so, Lord, we bring our thoughts and prayers to our own town and our own church. We pray for the uplifting of the people, Lord, that we would be a witness to them for you, Father. We pray for our church and the direction we will take in the coming months and years. Give us your vision, Lord, we pray, for the town, for the church, and for us as individuals, and the courage to follow your leading. Lord, we want to give you thanks for the answered prayers for so many people. We have experienced your love and care, Lord. You are our Lord and worthy of praise and worship. And I pray that you would speak to us today, Lord, in a clear voice that we will understand. Lord, give us that vision and help us to understand where you want us to go today. Amen.
Our reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, 'What does this mean?'"
Thanks very much, guys. I appreciate that. Well, Hollywood aside, let's look at what is going on in this moment, this monumental moment of biblical history. I've called this morning a message, the joining with the Spirit, because Pentecost, that 50th day after the resurrections, where Christians all around the world, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit on the disciples in that upper room. But, you know, if we're to understand the true impact and purpose and even the potential of what's going on that day, then we kind of have to turn the clock back a little bit and we have to look back and see what the work of the Spirit was doing before that day. The first mention of the Spirit is the second verse of the Bible. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. In creation, then, God commands, and the Spirit goes on to accomplish. So the work of God's word is accomplished by the power of the Spirit. The Old Testament is then filled with supernatural accomplishments like this, isn't it? Samson, we all know him, don't we? Great strength, but not necessarily as a result of his great physique, because his strength was a result of the power of God's Spirit. His strength is conditional, isn't it? And while he obeys God's word, his strength is fulfilling God's purpose. However, it's taken away when he's disobedient, isn't it? When Samson is no longer serving God's word, Spirit leaves him and so does his strength. One of my favourite stories in the Bible is Elijah's contest on Mount Carmel. And I know there's a wonderful bit in there where there's the consuming fire that God sends down onto the altar that burns up even the wet wood and the stone and everything. But that's not the bit that I find most fantastic. It says, and soon the sky was dark with black clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. And Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Ahab's the king. He leaves quickly for Jezreel. And then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. And he tucked his cloak into his belt. And he ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Do you know, I remember my mum telling me this story as a child, and I always imagined Elijah a bit like the $6 million man, you know, with his bionic legs whizzing along, and I was just absolutely blown away by that. But it seems as though God can accomplish any work he chooses with the power of his Spirit. He goes on to give Solomon great wisdom, doesn't he? He makes King David a crack shot with his sling, and he even confuses Israel's enemies at one stage so that they turn on each other and Israel don't even need to fight a battle. But it's not just in the Old Testament that we see the Spirit at work. It's also in the New Testament. Luke 10 tells us, the Lord now chose 72 other disciples, and he sent them out in pairs to all the towns and places that he planned to visit. Heal the sick, Jesus tells them. Tell them that the kingdom of God is near you now. And when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, I can just imagine the scene, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. You see, the work of God's word is being accomplished by the Holy Spirit. Later in John 20, Jesus, after the resurrection, appears to the disciples, doesn't he? It says this, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, Jesus says. He knew of their fear. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. Then he says this, As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So again, Jesus is sending out the disciples, sending out his children. In Luke's gospel, it tells us at that moment that he opened their minds so that they also understood the scriptures. The Spirit at work. So you see, there's nothing new in the mission of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost at all, because the Holy Spirit has been in creation from the very beginning, fulfilling the work of God's words, championing God's mission. But there is something new on the day of Pentecost about the way in which that work is now going to be accomplished. As the Spirit descends on the disciples, instead of simply being with them, it now makes a home within them. A heart, a human heart that God would not and could not dwell in because of sin, can now be a place of partnership because Jesus dealt with sin on the cross. The barrier of sin between us as mere human beings and God is dealt with by Christ on the cross. He takes that sin and covers it. It is washed away. It is gone. And now the Spirit may make a home within us. John 14 tells us, and this is Jesus speaking to his disciples in the last week before his crucifixion. Jesus says to them, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Wow, what a promise that is. He is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. Now, the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Making a home within each one of us who would choose to profess that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. You know, when we're prepared to make that admission to Jesus, hey, I'm a sinner. I can't do this on my own. I need your help, Jesus. I need you. When we ask him to deal with our sin, we say, clean me out and count me in, Jesus. When we're willing to do that, then something very special is brought to us. John the Baptist said, I'll baptize you with water. And we baptize in our church with water. As John the Baptist said, soon one will come after me who will baptize you with the Spirit. Jesus baptizes with the Spirit. Jesus resurrects us into this new life, doesn't he? With the same power that brought him up from the grave, the same power that conquers death. That is the same Spirit that now seeks to make a home within you. Paul writes in his letter to the Roman church, Romans 8:15, so you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful, slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. I think that's marvelous. I think that's a wonderful promise. I think it's almost an unbelievable thing that God steps in to sinful humanity and does for us. So I want us just to take a minute to consider what that really means to you on a personal level, that your spirit is joined with the Holy Spirit if you are willing to make that profession of faith. If you're a little undecided about that and the whole Christian thing, you know, listen to the words of this next hymn. Becoming a partner with Christ is a promise of never being alone. No matter what we're going through, whatever struggles we've been through in our lives, it doesn't matter how bad we've been, Jesus can cover this for us by the power of his Spirit. So we're just going to play a hymn now for us to think about. Holy Spirit, living breath of God, breathe new life into my willing soul. Bring the presence of the risen Lord to renew my heart and make me whole. Cause your word to come alive in me. What a line. Cause your word to come alive in me. That's what the Spirit wants to do in partnership with it, to cause God's word to come alive in us. Give me faith for what I cannot see. Give me passion for your purity. Holy Spirit, breathe new life in me. Join with me in a moment of prayer. Holy Spirit, we seek to refresh our partnership with you. Help us to hear you and to stay close to you. Grant us willing hearts and a passion for your goodness. We seek your mission and to do the work that the Father has planned in advance for us to do. Show us the obstacles that we have put in your way. Make us brave and able to make the choice to put you first. And in our submission, may we become the hands and feet of Jesus in our world today, as those first disciples were willing to do. Amen. But of course, the thing is that we're not just called as individuals to be in partnership with God. It goes further than that. On the day of Pentecost, of course, Peter, filled with the new partnership, stands up and he addresses the crowd. And when they've listened, the Bible tells us they are cut to the heart. The advocate of truth has cut through lies and fear in everyone's hearts. And some 3,000 in that crowd are added to the church that day. Well, you know what? If you've been listening to UCB radio like I have this week, then you may well have heard one of the messages I heard about the Holy Spirit. There have been lots of messages about the Holy Spirit, of course. And in that message, it suggested that the mission of the Holy Spirit was to build the church. Well, I had to think about that for a little while, because obviously the mission of the Holy Spirit has always been the same, to carry out God's work, to carry out God's purpose. And it is a specific purpose, so it's definitely mission. But then it reminded me, started me thinking about the purpose of the church and how sometimes the church can get a little muddled with this purpose. And it reminded me of something that was said to me years ago. Now, don't ask me who said it. I can't remember. I think it's a famous quote. Someone will probably tell me afterwards. But it was this. It is not so much that God has a church of mission in the world. It is that the God of mission has a church in the world. I'll say that again. It's not so much that God has a church of mission in the world. It is that the God of mission has a church in the world. You see, that's what this partnership of our spirit with God's spirit is all about. It's about achieving God's mission. And it's why we have to prioritize the health of our spiritual partnership, not just as individuals, but as a living, breathing, functioning community of God's children, committed to the mission that Jesus sends us out to continue. You know, the first Christian community faced many challenges, didn't it? They were persecuted by the Romans. They were outcast by their own society. Their own Jewish religious leaders hated them with a passion. But that didn't hinder the mission. They found ways to reach out into their community together, bringing the goodness of God to life. They were living out the gospel, modeling the teachings of Jesus. I'm just going to read you a little of what it says. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything that they had with one another. They sold their property and their possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity. All the while they were praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Today we're facing challenges, aren't we? New challenges about how we are going to connect with our community as Desborough Baptist Church. How are we going to stay on track with God's mission? One of the things that COVID-19 has done is it's physically separated us. It's kind of scattered us as a community of God's people back into our homes. Yes, we can connect like this over Zoom, but it's not the same, is it? you know, I feel led to suggest that one of our priorities might be in actually opening up the church so that we can come together as God's missional community. And I'm not talking about Sunday worship here. I'm talking potentially on another day where we come together as God's people to encourage one another, to rekindle our passion for God's mission, where we reconnect with the very heart and passion that God has for his mission. I know that's not an easy suggestion. I know there's hurdles in the way of that as a church, but also for us individually. You know, I speak from personal experience when I say that there's been times in my service to God where I felt exhausted, fed up, even burdened by the things I'm doing. Like I'm expected to do the right thing, and somehow if I just get through the next Bible study or the next home visit or something, then I'll have done my bit. And we can all feel a little like that at times when we're faced with having to get up and do. But it's not about doing our bit, is it? It's about having the right heart for God's mission, so that it's not forced and that it's not a burden. There is a word that's repeated itself this morning many times in scripture and many times in the words we've been bringing. It's the word joy. We need to be filled with joy like those first believers. The work of God's word is still being accomplished by the power of the Spirit through God's church here in Desborough. But what time will we then be prepared to give up to the mission of the Spirit that has joined with us? Or have we stifled the presence of the Spirit with doubt? Sin and otherworldly distractions creep in. I'm a believer that Satan's greatest weapon in busy, and let's not forget we have the enemy of Satan who wants to stop us in our tracks. I believe that Satan's greatest weapon is busy. Busy in the heart of the believer. Too busy to be about God's mission. And therefore God's mission is reduced to the slow lane. Progress is hindered. The voice is muted. The witness and salvation of God is almost frozen in action. How might we get past this? I feel led to say to you that I feel as though we need to practice being God's community together. We need to find a way. Perhaps on a Wednesday, I don't know. I plucked a name out the air. I just called it Wednesday Acts. Meeting in the church around the meal table like those early Christians did, encouraging each other, learning together. It doesn't matter what we do. If we're doing God's mission, he'll put his blessing on it. Whether we look at Discipleship Explored or run an Alpha course, or we support the CAP evenings that we're getting involved with, I'm excited about that. Let's get excited, therefore, about God's mission. I believe that when we become together as a community of God's people, that we now have a place and a space where we can invite others to come and join us and experience Christian community firsthand. God's gospel in action. That's what Jesus meant when he stood on the mountaintop at the moment of his ascension. And he says in Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He didn't say to the disciples, go and tell a nice story about the gospel. Tell people what you've heard me say. It was go and be that gospel to all people. And the Spirit will add to our number daily. The challenge for us is how are we going to be God's community so that we can reach out to the hopelessness of our community in Desborough. And when I say hopelessness, you know, we have a drug problem in Desborough. You know, there is poverty in Desborough. There is desperation in Desborough because there's desperation in these things everywhere. we need to look at the heart of why these things happen. We don't need to become drug counsellors. We don't need to become alcohol counsellors. We don't need to deal in domestic violence. We don't need to be experts in any of these things. We simply need to be willing to come together as God's community so that we can invite those who are hurting and are looking for God into our community so that we experience God's goodness coming through the Spirit through us. That way, we will reach into our community in a way that can change that community, bless that community, and bring revival in our community. Join with me in a prayer of confession. Let's bow our heads. Spirit of God, you are the breath of creation, the wind of change that blows through our lives, opening us up to new dreams and new hopes, new life in Jesus Christ. Forgive us our closed minds, which barricade themselves against new ideas, preferring the past to what you might want to do through us tomorrow. Forgive our closed eyes, Lord, which fail to see the needs of our world, but blind to opportunities of service and love. Forgive us our closed hands, which clutch at our gifts and our own wealth for our own use alone. Forgive us our closed hearts, which limit our affections to ourselves and our own spirit. Spirit of new life, forgive us and break down the prison walls of our selfishness, that we might be open to your love and open for the service of your world. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. I've got one last song for us. We are here in partnership with the Spirit to allow the goodness of God to show itself in the world. And I've picked a song to finish with. Some of you may know it, some of you may not. It is called The Goodness of God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Of the goodness. the goodness of God. I'm gonna say, I'm gonna say.
Heavenly Father, I just pray for us all here today. I pray for a blessing upon us as we go about our week. I pray that your grace and your mercy be upon each one of us, that your blessing might be through us to others around us. May we be your community, your church, your hands and feet in the world, Lord, as we go about our working week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. Have a lovely week. Have a blessed week, folks.